We're discussing the issue of guarding one's health, specifically with regard to certain attitudes that people have. It seems to me that people's attitudes are inconsistent and not rational. There's a lot of emotion in the area. That is to say that they will seize upon certain things and very vehemently condemn certain things, which they regard as being unhealthy, and often they'll try to use halacha to back up their approach. Let's take smoking, for example. There's a tremendous amount of sentiment, there's a tremendous amount of animosity, emotion, directed against the activity of smoking. This is based upon the fact that smoking can be dangerous. I say can be dangerous. And it's something that a person should be concerned about. But the attitude that people have with regard to it, it seems to me, is not based upon a rational perception of the situation and a rational attitude towards health. Let's take up the question, first of all, whether it is prohibited according to halacha, according to Jewish law, whether smoking a cigarette or a cigar or whatever else it is, would be a halachic violation. In my opinion, it would not. Rav Moshe Feinstein, the great posek of the past generation, wrote a number of tshuvot, responsa, on the issue, and pretty much maintained that one cannot create a halachic obligation against the activity of smoking per se. The reason, it seems to me, and I believe I'm basing myself on what he says, but I don't have the book in front of me, so I assume responsibility. I'm not trying to attribute this to somebody else. But you have to look at different types of substances. There are substances which in and of themselves will destroy you. Obviously, certain poisonous types of substances, and one is, or will cripple you, will really have a serious impact upon your health. But then you have other kinds of substances which are not inherently dangerous. But what makes them dangerous are a number of other factors. It is to say the amount, the accumulation, the genetic makeup of the individual. For example, high-fat foods. For some people, high-fat foods are extremely dangerous and much more dangerous even than cigarettes. That's because of the fact that due to their own genetic makeup, the genes, they have a predisposition towards cholesterol, or they may have heart problems in their family. And then there are other kinds of foods that could be dangerous for some people because of cancer. They may have cancer in their background, and these types of foods are more prone to cause cancer. With regard to those kinds of foods, very salty foods or very fatty foods and so forth, no one is suggesting that it's prohibited to take to have a bite of steak or to have a steak from time to time. What would be prohibited would be, for example, if a person has a serious condition and the doctor warns him and tells him that he cannot have any fat, any eggs, or whatever the case may be. That's how precarious his situation is. So then, for him, it would be prohibited according to the Torah. Because now, by eating that particular food, he's actually endangering himself. But if the doctor says that you have a certain predisposition, or you have to watch your cholesterol and so on and so forth, cut down on your meat consumption, cut down on your consumption of fats, so then there's no prohibition in actually having an ice cream. It doesn't make any sense to carry that over to a particular, to say that the very act of having an ice cream in and of itself now becomes a prohibition. You can't say anything like that. The same is true with regard to cigarettes. And that is to say that it is the accumulation, generally speaking, the danger comes into the picture when people are smoking a significant amount, usually a pack, but usually the case would be two packs, three packs a day, over a number of years, And even then, not all people that engage in it to that extent necessarily get cancer. But of course, the risk is significantly increased. However, to go from there, and to say that just taking a cigarette per se is going to be prohibited, when one cigarette in an isolated framework, or whatever the case may be, if a person smokes with moderation, that is to say that most doctors would acknowledge that this amount that you're smoking per day or per week, it does not really constitute any kind of a significant danger to your health, provided you keep it to that amount. For argument's sake, let's say a doctor would say one cigarette a day is too minimal. So then one could not say that smoking one cigarette itself is a halachic prohibition. It only becomes a halachic issue when a person goes to the doctor, let's say is a heavy smoker, doctor takes x-rays of his lungs and so forth and says, you better quit. If you do not quit, then you are going to face an early death or something like along those lines. At that point in time, then every cigarette becomes dangerous to him and he's got to give it up completely. Therefore, I don't see any basis, however, the approach towards dealing with this has to be a different kind of an approach. Of course, it doesn't make sense. It's unwise for people who are not smokers in the first place to start experimenting with cigarettes because, by and large, it's not something that you need. And in fact, when people first do smoke, generally speaking, they don't enjoy it. They start coughing. They have a revulsion against it. It's an acquired taste. So you have to sort of go out of your way and get through that phase till you reach the point where you begin to enjoy it. And then, of course, you're creating a craving and a need for it. And if you want to use the term addiction, use the term addiction. So why, from a philosophical standpoint, should somebody go out of their way to acquire an addiction for something which they don't need in the first place and which does have the capacity, if they can't control it, to become a real serious threat to their health? That's a rational way to approach it. But a person should be very careful about allowing their own emotional feelings to dictate things, especially in the realm of halacha. And that's what people do. There is, in my opinion, the attitude that people have. Many non-smokers are anti-smokers. They have a certain fanatic hatred for smoking per se. It's not a rational attitude. And I would like to point out certain inconsistencies because it creates within these people a certain self-righteousness. They feel offended by the very idea that a person is smoking. And they have a certain anger, a certain hostility, a certain aggressiveness against anybody that would smoke. And they over-exaggerate whatever effect that a little secondhand smoke can have on somebody to justify their significant anger. Let me point out an inconsistency. According to the argument that a person is obligated to protect their health, and that's the reason why they're opposed on Torah grounds to smoking, how come they're not consistent? Why don't they have the same attitude towards something called obesity, overweight? Now, overweight is a huge, huge problem in the Jewish community, obesity. And it's possible, according to statistics, that obesity represents a greater threat to health than smoking. Yet those very same people who get up in arms, tremendous anger about the idea of smoking, they don't have the same attitude towards obesity. They don't suggest that this might be a halachic problem, that they'd be halachically obligated to go on a diet and to refrain from certain foods. They'll acknowledge that it's wrong and that it's bad and so forth, but you see a completely different attitude. But where's the consistency? The same is true with regard to something else. Another risk factor is the fact that a person leads a sedentary lifestyle, does not engage in exercise. Failure to engage in exercise is an additional risk factor. So therefore, if a person is arguing that one has to be absolutely scrupulous and cannot behave in a manner which in any way, shape, or form is inimical to one's health and extending one's lifespan, so then how is it permitted to refrain from exercise? Shouldn't exercise then also become a halachic obligation? And you cannot make the distinction between doing things that are bad as opposed to refraining from doing things that are good. And say that, well, we can only legislate actions. The action of smoking is bad, so that can't be done. Can't do it. But the other thing is a positive thing, and the fact that I'm not doing a positive thing, that you can't fault me on. That argument does not hold water. Because the basic idea is that one is obligated to protect oneself. The Rambam talks about that in Hilchos Deos, that the perfected individual is obligated to organize his physical activities, nutritional activities. He maintains that nutrition is an extremely important aspect of health. And the Rambam, in fact, insisted that one of the worst things, aside from eating, what's worse than eating the wrong foods, is overeating. Overeating, he said, is the greatest threat towards one's health, in line with the modern concept of obesity. Also mentions the importance of exercise. I'm not saying that one has to gear one's program in this area, one's approach, on the basis of the Rambam, because the particulars of the Rambam, the specifics were based upon his understanding of medicine. We're not bound by medical ideas of the past. Of course, the Rambam was very forward-thinking, and many of his ideas are, in general, in line with contemporary ideas, but you go by the medicine of your time. But there's no doubt that it makes no difference that if a person is going to use the argument about smoking, then they should be consistent. It's correct that one has to look at it from the framework of maintaining one's health and to keep the body in a state of health, and therefore should refrain from the activity which causes danger. However, the same must be said with regard to the other factors, eating the dangerous foods, eating high cholesterol foods if you're a candidate, if you have that in your past, foods that might increase one's risk in terms of cancer, if that's a problem. Avoiding obesity has to be just as strenuously maintained as refraining from alcohol, refraining from cigarettes. That's another example, alcohol. No one is suggesting that it's prohibited to have a drink, to have a beer, or to have some scotch, even though alcohol can be debilitating. Alcoholism, alcohol addiction can lead to all kinds of illnesses and can lead to all kinds of destruction. So it's clear that it's prohibited for a person to become addicted, to become an alcoholic. But you can't make the leap from that point to saying that therefore any drinking of any alcoholic beverage in and of itself becomes prohibited, because that alcoholic beverage in and of itself is not destructive. It's only in conjunction with the fact that the person gets addicted to it. A person should therefore be consistent and work at a program which is comprehensive, and take the same attitude towards refraining from the other risk factors, such as obesity and foods that are generally considered to be bad for one's health, and also the positive factors in terms of doing exercise and things of that sort are just as significant and just as binding from the Torah perspective as avoiding those negative things. Just want to add one more idea in this chain of ideas, that people are not looking at all the different things consistently or rationally. There's another thing which has been identified in certain studies as a risk factor, that is high stress, a high stress lifestyle. Now, assuming that's true, because whatever I'm saying now is assuming it's true, it could turn out a lot of this type of scientific experimentation, it's relatively new, then they can come out with other studies and they could perhaps show that it wasn't the case and stress is not a risk factor. But let's assume right now, the current understanding is that it is. Therefore, according to this way of thinking, it should be a halakhic obligation to remove yourself from stress situations, insofar as that's possible. Of course, one can argue, but that's my job. That's my profession. No, but if it's prohibited, then a person should get a different job, get a different profession, or at least from the outset, in assessing which jobs would be permitted and which would not be permitted, then you have to consider the high stress factor. But nobody thinks like that. And everybody would say that that type of a thing is absurd. And that is because you can't live your life that way. Of course, one tries psychologically to reduce stress. But you can't treat it as though any situation of stress, because it can have a negative impact on your health down the line, is now a subject of halachic prohibition. You can't look at it that way. So, therefore, I'm just trying to show you that there is a lack of logical consistency in the way people approach these types of subjects.